Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and I will be reading verses 1 through 4. And it says this: In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made all things. The Son of God is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so he became as much superior to the angels as the name that he had inherited is superior to theirs. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. If you are even a casual observer or student of history, you've probably noticed that every culture, in every place, in every time, all around the world, we all seem to have a desire to worship a higher power of one sort or another. It seems somehow to be hardwired into our brains to want to seek some sort of divine being, to want to connect with a power which is greater than we are, and to worship something or someone who is higher than us. I don't know how that happened. It just seems to be this urge that we all have. We all long for a connection with this higher power. Not to just know that there's someone out there watching over me, but to know that I can be in communion and in connection with that person, with the one who is greater than we are. We long to communicate with this divine being because we want to know what is pleasing and what is righteous, and we want guidance for the way we live out our faith in our daily lives. And so for Christians, we call this higher power God, right? But there's a lot of other religions that call the God that they worship God also. And the God of one religion may or may not resemble the God of a different religion. But for us Christians, the God we worship is distinct and different from all of the other gods that other people may worship, because we worship a God who became flesh and dwelled among us in the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Lord. No one else's God has done that for them. Verse 1 from Hebrews that I just read tells us that in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets in many and different ways. But in the last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. So this is what makes our God different from all of the other options you have of gods to worship out there. That God loves, our Christian God loves his children, us, so much that he came down to be near us. That he left the very heights of heaven and descended into our mess here on earth to be close to us, to walk with us and to talk with us and to cry with us and to eat with us. God came down to be close to us and to love us. In the days of God's people, Israel, he spoke to them through the prophets who were his messengers. But Hebrews says, in these last days, God speaks through his Son, who is the exact representation of who God is. He is the exact image of God, perfectly reflecting God in all of his ways. Now, if you remember, back at the beginning of time when God created Adam and created Eve, that was supposed to be their job. Their job was supposed to be to perfectly reflect God, to the world around them. That didn't go so well. It doesn't take you very long to read it in the Bible where things get messed up pretty badly. So because we failed to perfectly reflect God, God said, all right, I got you covered. And he sent us Jesus, who was able to finish the job for us. And so this Son of God, who also is this Son of Man, because he was a human, he is that direct connection that we yearn for and long for with God. Through him, the prayer line is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You've probably seen that on a church sign somewhere in your travels. Of all the ways that God speaks to us in the Bible, he speaks most clearly through the person of Jesus Christ. And he continues to speak through him, who is what Hebrews calls the radiance of God's glory. That's a lovely sentence. I really don't know that I completely understand what it means, but it's a lovely sentence. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. So I guess in a way, if you look at these four verses that I read, which if you look at the Greek, it's one really long sentence. We divide it up into four sentences in our Bible. These four verses, they tell the whole story of Jesus in some of the most beautiful language that we can find in the Bible. Jesus, because he is the Son of God, he inherits all things, he has created all things, and he sustains all things. As the beloved Son of God, Jesus is God's heir, H-E-I-R. Just like an only son would be the heir to his father's inheritance. And because the God of heaven and earth created all things, now all things belong to Jesus. Everyone and everything who belongs to God belongs to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. We are part of that inheritance. But more than just inheriting all things, Hebrew tells us that Jesus actually helped to create all things as well. It says, through whom he also made the universe. And if you think back to Genesis, when God was creating the first human being, what the words say is, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And so we believe that the us and the we that he's talking about is the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, who were all there at the beginning helping to create the world. So not only does Jesus inherit the whole world, he created the whole world. So he inherits all things and he creates all things. So if you kind of think of it, it's like Jesus is the bookends of God's story. Or he's the prologue and the epilogue, whatever you want to think about. He's the beginning and the end, which is why we call him the Alpha and the Omega. He was there at the beginning of creation, and he will be there at the end when he comes again and receives his final inheritance. So he created all things, he will inherit all things, and Hebrews tells us that the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. So not only is he the beginning and the ending, but he's the glue that holds all things together in the middle. He creates all things, inherits all things, and sustains all things. So perhaps the thing that makes the Christian God, whom we worship, so different from all the other gods that people worship, is that he loved us so much that he was willing to lay down his life for us on the cross. But even death couldn't keep Jesus as its prisoner because, as we know, on the third day, he rose again from the dead. These four little verses from the first chapter of Hebrews somehow managed to tell us the whole story of Jesus. Creates all things, inherits all things, and sustains all things. And it says, after he had provided purification for sins, after he died for us to receive forgiveness. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, as we say in the Apostles' Creed. Have you ever thought about what that really means? It's really the most astounding thing in the world that the creator of the heavens and earth, who is the glue that holds all things together, would become a lowly human being like you and like me. And beyond that, he dies the worst kind of death that the worst kind of criminal could ever suffer. He did that for us. It makes no sense that God would do something like this, and yet we are forever grateful that he did it anyway. So this morning, as we gather around the Lord's table on this World Communion Sunday, we celebrate with brothers and sisters in all places the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And we know that we are connected to one who is higher than we are, who is that power that we seek to tap into. We are connected to the one who created all things and will inherit all things, and who even now sustains all things. And we have been gifted with the Holy Spirit, who empowers us and encourages us and advocates and intercedes for us with the Father and the Son. So as we gather together at this table to worship God, giving thanks for Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't do it just as people at Frankfort Church. But rather today we are gathering at the table in the company of believers, parts of the body of Christ all around the world who are also gathering at the table this very day, whether it's in a church building that looks like this here in America, or if it's under a tree somewhere in Africa where they don't have a church building, or even in places on the other side of the world where they have to meet in secret because it is illegal to have faith in God. It is illegal and dangerous for them to worship this God whom we know and love. So with hearts that are grateful for our freedom to worship, let us come to the table and celebrate together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.